You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Ashley Winch in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for Monday, May 6th, episode 3425 by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse world.
Still about 14 lengths behind as Track Phantom passes the half mile pole with the lead, and Fierceness is moving now. And going right with him is Just Steel. The three of them across the track. Then Longshot Epic Ride. Mystic Dan toward the inside. Stronghold is next. Then Fierceness. Sierra Leone and Forever Young still with work to do. Forever Young is starting to pick it up as they come toward the top of the stretch. It is Fierceness who's moving up on the outside of Track Phantom. And there on the far outside, here comes a run from Stronghold and Resilience. And Resilience has now moved up to take the lead. And Fierceness is given way, coming by the 16th pole. And Mystic Dan is now controlling inside. It is Mystic Dan down toward the inside with the lead in the final 16th. Forever Young, Sierra Leone is coming. These three coming down to the wire. Who's it going to be? Oh, it's a photo of the Derby. Oh, it's a photo. Is it Mystic Dan or was it Sierra Leone?
Okay, so every year we did a coverage on Friday about the race, and every year we say, look, it's always the horse nobody talks about, and that's exactly what happened this year. It's always the horse. The whole pre-show before the race, we were watching that. I don't think they mentioned Mystic Dan once in the whole pre-show. And here we go. So it was an exciting race. Talk about a photo finish. I mean, it was a photo finish. So yeah, Domestic Dan. Sorry, Mystic Dan. I was thinking Domestic Product. Mystic Dan wins. And I got to tell you, Jamie and I didn't have that on our picks. And matter of fact, most of the otters didn't have that on our picks either. So it was quite a race, and it was an unexpected ending, as it has been for the last several years. There was a little bit of controversy about the two horses, about Sierra Leone and Forever Young bouncing off each other down the stretch there, but they were pretty much just bouncing off each other. One wasn't trying to impede the other. It was the horses more than anything. You could see actually in some pictures that they were trying to pull the horses apart, and the horses were like going, all right, I'm sticking with him. So I don't think there was any problem there. But a couple of things. So I had Catching Freedom, Forever Young, and Domestic Product. Jamie had Domestic Product, Sierra Leone, and Door Knock. That's right. So we each had one in the top three.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good odds or statistics. I don't know.
We each had one. Now, I owe John Nicholson a hot brown, because old friends.
What
horse
is a hot brown?
You don't know what hot brown is?
No.
Oh, look that up. It's a Lexington.
I don't know if I want that on my browser history, Glenn.
It's a Lexington Louisville Classic. So the old friends horse beat the horse and hound horse by one spot. So West Saratoga beat Domestic Product by one place. So I owe him a hot brown. He runs old friends. We made that bet last week.
Oh, how fun.
Jamie actually posted, and I thought this was funny. She posted this for a question, First World Problem. So we'll do one early today. She said, okay, so I make all my Kentucky Derby bets, and I have $6 left in my betting account. So I read all the names to my son and ask him to pick one horse, and I will bet it with the remaining money. I lose every bet I make, but Lucas, he picks Mystic Dan and won $68.
Well, it sounds like Jamie just needs to let Lucas make her bets next year.
Yep, science doesn't work. Pick by name.
I honestly, that's what I do. Like, I was, you know, I didn't watch, it's not really my jam, but I always pick by name. And I thought to myself, like, I absolutely would have picked Mystic Dan, because he sounds like a fifth grade, like astrological guru. And I love that in a horse. Like, that just sounds like a great vibe. So, you know, Sometimes you got to go with your gut.
Now, they did say Kenny McPeak, who is one of Jennifer's least favorite trainers for some reason, he did say that he's not committed to going to the Preakness. He's going to see how this horse recovers. Apparently, he didn't eat his dinner last night, so they were or the night of the race, actually. They were going to see what happens over the next couple of days. They ran him back once in 2 weeks last year, and it completely backfired on me. He did terrible in the second race coming back that quickly. So they're a little concerned about that. They're going to give him 2 or 3 days. If he comes out good, they said they'll look at it. If not, we'll worry about the horse more than anything. So good for them for that.
Totally.
They may not run him in the Preakness. Well, they're going to make the decision. They have till next Monday, I think, to make the decision, and they're going to take till next Monday, they said, to decide and see how he comes back. So good for them. You know, good for them. I mean, that was a hard race. That was a hard-fought race over the weekend and a lot of fun. But anyway, we're going to hear about other things other than racing today. That was our entire racing coverage. So all you people that hate racing, we're done. You're good. We're going to hear all about the ASPCA Adopt a Horse Month. Our breed highlight is Lusitano today. And we have some equestrian first world problems. And then Ashley and I are going to hang out in the post show. Jamie is not here. She's out today. She has some things she had to deal with. So thank you, Ashley, for filling in the last minute. I appreciate it.
Always.
And we have some daily whinnies. Let's do those. We have three auditor birthdays today, and they're all longtime auditors and longtime listeners. So happy birthday to Chris the Youngblood, Richard Alvey, who I saw recently, and Colleen Lapp, who I've known her. She's been a listener, I don't know, it has to be since we started this show 14 years ago. So happy birthday to all of you. Now, do you have a, what do you call the other thing, a buck off? Do you have a daily whinnie or a buck off today?
I have a daily whinnie today because I was on vacation over the weekend, so I didn't get into a bad mood over anything.
Okay, then we'll go with daily whinnie today.
My daily whinnie goes out to one of our auditors, Clark Barton, who is part owner of Seize the Gray, who ran in the Pat Day Mile and won. That's so cool. I couldn't believe it. First of all, what a good looking horse. I am a sucker for a dapple gray. I love the pun and the name, all of it. So Clark, my daily whinnie's for you and Seize the Gray. Congrats.
Good job, Clark. We're very proud of you. Clark is the one that helped us install our kitchen. So we've had auditors help us paint our house, install our kitchen, do fencing. Pretty much do everything.
So if you guys are looking for free labor, start a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Do it for, 16 years and somebody will show up. You'll be good. Hey, I was looking for a study show, which is going to be coming up here in a couple of days, and I found this study. It was a study on how music can calm horses in stressful situations, and it was done by Irrod et al. I don't know who that is, but it was what they took a look at. Well, basically, they divided 36 horses into three groups. Each group was subjected to different auditory conditions. One was continuous music. Now, they never really say what the music was. And in my opinion, that's got to play a factor here. Was it classical? Was it punk rock? I don't know. I got to think that certain... Was it rap? I don't know. I got to think certain music would be better than other music. Maybe that's the next...
Oh, it absolutely is scientifically matters. I did that as a high school project and had... mice listening to punk rock versus classical. And without getting into the nitty gritty, we'll just say the classical mice were much happier beings.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I thought mice might have been into punk rock, actually.
No, they were poor things.
I think raccoons might be into punk rock.
They're stealing and breaking into things.
Exactly.
They're definitely the punkers of the animal kingdom.
That's funny. So anyway, they did three groups. Continuous music, pink noise. Is that just like white noise?
Or brown noise? Or I've never heard of pink noise.
I don't know what pink noise is. And then silence. The other... Oh, here. Pink noise for 10 hours on YouTube. Let's see what that is.
Is it? I wonder if it's like heartbeats or like, I don't know.
I'm going to get a commercial first. You watch. Oh, it won't play. Oh, that's not big noise.
I was like, well, that sounds like rain.
It's just static. Well, that's annoying. I think I wouldn't like that at all. For
oh, hours. Look. It's Google says pink noise is a constant background sound that contains a mix of white noise and brown noise.
What's
with
brown
lower
noise?
Sound. Brown noise, I think, is like vacuums and stuff.
Too many names for noises. Oh, my God. Anyway, they did continuous music, pink noise, and silence. And what they found was the findings reveal that music, especially when played repetitively, has a noticeable calming effect on horses, as evidenced by the reduced stress behaviors and lower heart rates compared to those in silent conditions. Interestingly, they said pink noise was indeterminate. So it was an auditory stimuli, and it did have some impact, but not like music did.
Well, yeah, because it's nothing.
No, right, exactly. It drives me crazy. The study also investigated whether horses might become habituated to music, get used to it, and then it has no effect, thus reducing its effectiveness. Results indicated that the calming effect remains significant through seven consecutive exposures, and it varied across different days. So I think it kind of varied what mood they were in. Right?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking. And I have the solution.
Did the mice have an opinion on that? Were they?
They didn't get to have one.
No.
Sorry. This
they
was
were in a bad
the,
mood.
The early
it was
better
aughts. Or worse.
This was the early aughts, you guys.
Would you just have mice in a cage and you put a speaker in there and played
that's
music?
That's exactly.
You have little heart rate monitors on them? So they said, in conclusion, the research suggests that music can be a valuable resource in managing stress in equine environments, potentially improving safety and horse-human interactions by reducing the likelihood of stress-induced incidents. However, the effectiveness of music must be monitored over time, and its impact can diminish with habitual use. The study not only highlights the benefits of music for animal welfare, but opens up the door for future studies. Like, yeah, which kind of music? So it'd be interesting. I couldn't figure out what they were playing. It would have been interesting to know what they were playing. My
so
guess
it
is
sounds
classical.
Like either you need to change the radio station every 2 or 3 days.
Yes, that's right.
Or like if you're a Spotify user like me, I listen to my day list and the algorithm changes my playlist every day.
And you got to wonder if certain artists, like we don't like certain artists. So
right.
You know, if you're playing Bon Jovi 12 hours a day, is the horse going to, you know, he may not like Bon Jovi. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, that was the study. And I had to go over that one. Usually I just read the headlines, but, you know, it was about horses and music and stuff.
And the details, how few they were.
Yes.
Really mattered.
Are you tired of dusty, cracked, and leaky floors in your trailer, barn, or other space? Well, you need Worm Flooring, the permanent solution to your flooring woes. Worm Flooring is a sealed system that's easy to clean, slip-resistant, and protects your floors from liquids, spills, urine, poop, all that stuff. It doesn't go through the boards anymore or the aluminum if you have aluminum floors. So don't waste time and money on temporary fixes. Invest in Worm Flooring for a lasting and beautiful floor. Visit wormflooring.com today to learn more and to find a dealer near you. It's wormflooring.com.
And we are joined by Kaylin Caldwell from the ASPCA on to talk about Adopt a Horse Month. Now, Kaylin, I understand that this is the fourth annual Adopt a Horse Month. Can you tell us a bit about the backstory and how it's grown over the years?
That is correct. We're so excited to be celebrating Adopt a Horse Month for the fourth time. And this is really a special month where we can come together, talk about horse adoption, and collectively push adoption in front of the horse-loving public so that they can learn about horse adoption, meet the incredible horses looking for homes, and we can really collectively push this work forward. The history of Adopt a Horse Month really started 4 or 5 years ago when we realized that horse adoption needed to be a more popular and well-known way of acquiring a horse, because a lot of people inadvertently passed over these wonderful horses looking for homes simply because they didn't know they could adopt. So Adopt a Horse Month was a moment when we realized we need to make horse adoption just as popular as it is for dogs and cats. And Adopt a Horse Month was a great way to do that, to engage the horse-loving public, engage the equestrian community, and all come together to really talk about adoption, support adoption, and do something special for these horses.
Absolutely. What kind of advice would you give someone interested in adopting a horse for the first time? Where would people start? How do I know if I'm a good candidate for adopting a horse?
That's a great question. The simple answer is horse adoption is for everyone. If this is your first time you've ever even explored bringing a horse home, horse adoption can be a great way to do that, because you're going through an organization that can help walk you through the process, connect you to resources in your community, and then you also have lifelong support. So if you ever encounter trouble with your horse, donkey, or mule, you can always go back to that original adoption organization to ask questions, look for support, and then we require of all the partners that if something ever changes in your life, the horse always has a safe place to go for further rehoming. So adoption is just a really fantastic way to get involved with horses because of all those additional resources and connections that come with that newly adopted equine. And then if you've had horses your whole life and are looking for a sport horse prospect or a horse to take you down the trail or in the show ring, adoption is just as good of an option. There are incredible horses that are either switching from different careers or had some sort of circumstance in their owner's life, but they're still looking to go on to a competitive career or a riding career. So if someone is looking to get started, the way we recommend is going to myrighthorse.org. That is where all of our ASPCA Right Horse adoption partners list all of their available horses. So at any one time, you can browse up to 800 horses by breed, discipline, location, whatever you're looking to do, to really narrow down and find that right horse for you, which is where our name comes from. We're all about connecting the right horse to their right person.
I love that. And I love the fact that, you know, it's not just, it's any horse that's out there, and that they're not all just looking for a new home or a new career. They're really, truly fantastic partners just waiting for you. Do you have maybe a favorite adoption story that you could share with us before we get into the super fun part of covering the two horses that I know you have up your sleeve for us today?
Oh, it is so hard to pick a favorite story because there's so many happy moments every day. Well, recently we had a very special one. We were at Equine Affair a couple weeks ago, and 9 of our partners got 32 horses. And it's a really special event where people who've never considered adopting get to come meet these horses, and then the horses find amazing homes. And there was a sweet older pony. She had come from a pretty difficult circumstance, but had thrived at the rescue that she was with. She looked fantastic, but she had a strong preference for children. She really did not like being handled by adults, but when she was around children, she just, you could tell, took a deep breath and absolutely just relaxed. And so she had done in-hand work. She had gone to horse shows while at the shelter, and then came to Equine Affair. And I believe the story goes, the first day someone was very interested in adopting her, but overnight realized wasn't the right time for them. So they ended up putting the adoption fee towards that pony so that the pony found their right person. That was all taken care of. And the next day, a little girl named Harper stopped by, and she had been looking at ponies for months and had found some she loved, but she had been very determined with her parents, this was not the right pony for me. And when she met Noelle, they just mutually saw each other and recognized that they had found each other. Noelle could not take her eyes off of her adopter, and vice versa. Harper was just absolutely head over heels with her new pony. So they've gone home. I believe they're going to do some in-hand work. She was really excited to take Noelle over some small obstacles that were just pulls on the ground. And it was just a really fantastic story to see this pony find absolutely her perfect person in the world and get to go on and be this child's first pony.
Kaylin,
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet.
I was there at Equine Affair, and I tried to visit you guys a couple times. She was just so mobbed with people over there. I couldn't get to you.
It was incredible.
It really was. How many did you adopt?
I believe 28 of the 32 found adoptors at Equine Affair. And then...
Yeah. Well, that was a good thing to do. Do that again.
We will. We do it every year, and we'll be in Massachusetts in November as well. So.
Well, you were packed. I kind of think that's because you've been doing this now for long enough that people know that, you know, they can kind of trust you guys too. I think that helps.
Yes, and it was special this year. We had adopters from the previous years come by, and it was neat. A couple of them pegged the stall. They were, this is where I first met so-and-so. And so that moment of meeting their right horse at the Equine Affair was a special moment for them. And so they were very zeroed into the location and wanted to come back and support the other horses.
That is just so sweet. I don't know if it's my pregnancy hormones, but I'm actually in tears over here that I'm, oh my gosh, my heart. So let's switch gears a little bit. And why don't you tell us about a couple special horses that are currently up for adoption, Lucille and Golden?
Yes. So these are just two wonderful horses. Lucille is a 24-year-old mare available for adoption from the West Virginia Horse Network. She is a 15-hand Tennessee walking horse, and she's looking to be a companion. She was a companion for another horse and did that job beautifully. She is loving and wonderful and really just looking for a home where there's some space and another horse that needs friendship or a person who needs friendship. So she is a lovely horse in West Virginia. And then on the other coast, we have Golden out in Lancaster, California with Wild at Heart. And he's a really fun 12-year-old warm blood gelding. It sounds like his rider first gets on him, he'll kind of try to figure out what they know and then is just willing and able to learn whatever his rider wants him to do. He is fantastic out on the trails. He has jumping experience and has jumped around 2-6 courses with ease and really has a beautiful rhythmic canter that makes him really stand out over a 100 course. So he's a lovely, lovely warm blood gelding. And both of these horses are fantastic adoptable horses looking for new homes.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we are wishing you guys even more success than last year. I understand you guys adopted out 400 horses last May. So, you know, we're raising a glass for more than 400 this month. And where can folks go again to find their right horse?
Thank you. Yes. Visiting myrighthorse.org. That is the place to go to meet all the adoptable horses. And one of the really special things about this month is whether or not you're able to adopt, we still need you and your voice. So if you're not able to adopt right now, we highly encourage you to go on to myrighthorse.org, find a horse, and become their virtual adopter. Share them on your social media platform. Send them to your horse-loving friend, your veterinarian, your farrier. Talk to the equine professionals in your life and tell them about equine adoption and really just help spread the word and amplify the effect of this month so that we can help horses all over the country find homes.
Thank you so much, Kaylin, for joining us today.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it and are excited to celebrate Adopt a Horse Month.
Cosequin ASU joint and hoof pellets contain quality ingredients to support joint and hoof health and leave out the fillers, molasses, and alfalfa, all while delivering the taste horses love. The colors of our ingredients shine through for a difference you can see. Visit CosequinEquine.com.
Well, we have our breed highlight coming up, and I have Daniela Siberio on with us. She's from Wellington, just down the road from us here in Ocala, and she's a jumper-turned-dressage rider. You're in the right place, and we're going to talk today about Lusitanos. But Daniela, you didn't start with Lusitanos. You were born where, in Mexico City?
Yeah, so I was born in Mexico City, and my first horse was actually a quarter horse that a friend of my mom gifted me for, I think, like my 5th or 6th birthday. And that's how I got into horses.
Every kid's dream.
Every kid's dream, I know. So this friend of my mom's actually bred thoroughbreds for the racetrack. And so I have no idea how he had a quarter horse, but he just was kind of like, oh, this is a sweet little schoolmaster, you know, just needs a bit of a step down, job. So why don't you just take it and have your kid ride it?
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to discuss how you went from that to Lusitanos, from your quarter horse to Lusitanos. But first, there was a stop in between I really have to talk to you about as America's horse husband. And that was, you know exactly where I'm going. That was your time getting a degree in economics at Syracuse University. Then you end up in the horse world where the economics just suck. So,
I know. Yes. The numbers don't
Did you
make
learn
sense
nothing
ever.
In college?
I learned absolutely nothing. Yes, correct. That is correct. I took all of my college education and, you know, flushed it down the toilet, essentially.
Well, they said what percentage, like 80% don't use their degree. They end up in a, you know, field that's not their degree. I would say you qualify in that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. For sure.
Has it helped you at all in the horse world?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I always tell people because I meet younger equestrians that, you know, are in their late teens, early 20s, and they're kind of faced with this conundrum of like, do I want to, you know, become a professional and really dedicate myself to this starting now, or do I want to go to university, get a degree, you know, have that. And I always think, and that's what my parents said to me, they said, you can do whatever you want after your degree, but you know, it's something that will always enrich you. It'll always benefit you. And I couldn't agree more. Like, I am so thankful that I did go and have that time and get the degree and feel like I have, you know, a stronger foundation.
Actually, economics, I was joking, obviously, earlier, but economics is a good foundation to have. You probably don't make the stupid financial mistakes that we all made in our early years.
No, you definitely still make them. Oh.
I like your honesty.
I wish. Yeah, no. Well, because I think, you know, it's, I grew up with horses, but neither of my parents were, you know, professional equestrians or were in the equestrian industry in any way. So we definitely still made all the rookie mistakes. We were all, you know, learning in this new industry, and there's no other way to do it but to just kind of do it, right? And then you learn and you say, oh, well, that was a big mistake. Won't be doing that again.
Yeah, we all go through that. So,
oh my gosh.
So how'd you find the Lusitano?
It's a super funny story. My mom and I were reminiscing about it the other day. She had a thoroughbred that she needed to retire. And she, you know, she kind of was like, I'm going to be completely depressed if I don't have a horse in my life, understandably. So she started looking into Lusitanos and found a riding holiday in Portugal. And at this point, you know, I was still trying to see if I could make my college degree work for me in some way. And it wasn't exactly going so well. So she told me one day, she's like, I'm going to go on a riding holiday to Portugal for a week. And I said to her, well, why are you going to go by yourself? I'll go with you. And basically I invited myself on her vacation.
I'm sure she did. And
no, I don't know. That was a little bit of like an infamous, you know, kind of a famous last words kind of moment, because we went, and by the end of that week, I had bought a horse.
She didn't, but you did.
Yeah, she didn't, but I did. And I ended up buying this, you know, 3-year-old that had just been started. And I still have her. So I've developed her all the way into the small tour now.
Wow.
And yeah, so we're hoping, you know, we're hoping to go all the way to the Grand Prix. So, but yeah, that was the trip really that changed my life. And I went, you know, to Portugal, which is a gorgeous country, lovely people, beautiful, you know, horses and amazing food, and just fell in love. I fell in love with the horses. They are, I mean, obviously they're stunning, but they just have this, you know, this character about them that makes you love them from the start. So I was like, all right, not knowing really what I was getting myself into fully, I was like, I want to do this.
Okay, so we all see, obviously we all know, we're all horse people, we know what Lusitanos are, and we've seen videos and all that stuff and the riding school and all that things, right? But what is it, now that you've lived with them and you're partners with them, what traits do they have that are different than the quarter horse and the thoroughbreds and the others that you've known along the way?
I get asked this a lot, and I always say, you know, because I don't really believe in, you know, that there's any bad breeds of horses. So I don't want to make it sound like, you know, they're better than.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean better. You can't love one yeah. more than another.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, for sure. But you know, it's so funny because whenever I kind of, you know, talk about Lusitanos, people say like, well, you know, warm bloods are also, they also have this. And, you know, I think people kind of take it a little bit as like, I'm, you know, bashing other breeds yeah. or something like that. And it absolutely is not the case. Every breed has something special and every horse has something special. But for me,
hey, I love Hackney ponies, and there aren't too many of us in the world. So
right,
there you
right,
go.
Exactly. And right. And I, you know, and now I think equestrians, like through, thanks to social media and stuff, we're able to, you know, highlight different breeds, which I think is so cool. Like, you know, off breeds, especially in dressage, it's like, you know, such a, I guess, like there's such a demand for, you know, the warm blood type breeds that, you know, other breeds, I guess, don't get a fair, you know, a fair shot or like good publicity in the sport. So for me, like Lusitanos have this, this really beautiful thing where they really want to connect with their person. So you really feel, you know, the more you engage with them, that they're working for you. You know, they want to do well, and they want to be part of your team. So, like, for me, that's really a special feeling.
So they're a one person horse, you think?
I do think, yeah. I think they love people, because, you know, when I've been at breeders in Portugal, you go out in the field with, you know, the, you know, 6 month old foals, and they all come up to you, you know, so it's, they're not people shy, which is such a nice thing. They want to, they're kind of sociable, and they're curious, and they like want to meet you and get to know you. But I think when you do spend, you know, more time with one, you kind of really become this partnership where they really know you and, you know, want to participate.
You know, it's interesting too, as a breed, they're one of the oldest recognized breeds from like 20,000 years ago. I mean, it's just, they go back a long way that they can identify that one specific breed. They're one of the oldest breeds, actually.
Yeah, they have such a fascinating history. And so much, you know, functionality, like their roles have changed so much. Like, you know, now I think they're becoming more of a sport horse, but, you know, they're used for bullfighting. They were used as war horses, you know,
the Romans agree. Used them. Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see how far back they go in the history, but I think that's what they've been. They've been these like companions to the people that they're with.
Do they tend to be as big as some of the warm bloods, or are they a little bit on the smaller side than the warm bloods? Tall, anyway.
I think you can get a little bit of everything. You definitely can get some that come out on the bigger side. I don't think, you know, I've never seen an 18-hand Lusitano, right. but I think they can range anywhere from, you know, 15 to 16.3, maybe 17
what
hands.
What are yours? Really tell us about yours.
I have a range. I have one who came out on the smaller side. He's 15.2, but then the others are all 16, 16.1.
Well, they're not going to listen to the podcast. Which is your favorite?
Oh, which is my favorite? I know. My mare, the mare that I bought on that fateful trip.
Oh, really?
She really, you know, is kind of my heart horse. So, yeah.
Is she gray?
Special. She is a gray, yeah.
You know, we think about them all being gray, but they're not, right?
No, they're not. They do a lot of, there's a lot of bays. They do a lot of like Cremellos and Palominos as well. Like, you know, it's kind of like there's a big variety of colors.
Are they, we always see them in dressage. Are they good for jumping? Are they good for other things?
I've seen them jump a bit. I don't think they're as popular in jumping, but they are really versatile. I mean, they're, you know, huge in working equitation as well, which is a super interesting sport that's, you know, pretty much the dominant country in it is Portugal, but, you know, they practice it in Spain and in France and kind of around Europe. And I think it's coming into the US a little bit more, but it's really like an agility, you know, and speed and agility and course. So they're really, really good at that. And obviously, you know, for bullfighting, they're, I guess, the breed of choice as well. So, yeah, I think they're very versatile.
You know, we watched a video the other day out of Portugal. They have the one, and I can't remember the holiday, where they take all the horses through the streets and the carriages. And yeah. You know, I'm a carriage driver, so obviously they're well-known in the carriage driving world, too. Lusitanos are great for carriage driving.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That's the fair at Golga. It's like the biggest horse fair of the year, and they usually hold it in November. And I mean, there's no words to describe it. Like, if you can ever
Have
go,
you been there?
I've been several years. I've been, I actually went just last year, this last November. And there's just, you know, I always tell people, like, if you ever get the chance to go, go, because nothing I can ever say to you will come close to the experience of being there.
Well, just the carriages and the horses and the costumes, the outfits. I mean, it's very colorful.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's very colorful. It's very steeped in tradition. It's very family oriented. You know, that's something I also love about how the Lusitanos are such a part of the Portuguese culture. And, you know, fathers and grandfathers and great grandfathers. And, you know, it's such a family. It's so tied into family. And families that have bred them for, you know, so many generations. And you see, you know, young kids riding in the fair with their parents. Like, it's really something very cool.
Now, they're also known to, obviously, they're highly intelligent. But that, as we learned, I have a Hackney pony. They're also highly intelligent.
Yeah.
And they also can get in trouble a lot because they're highly intelligent. So is it that way with Lusitanos, too?
Yeah. Sometimes you're like, you're too smart for your own good.
Opening gates, getting out. They're just always testing the limits a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. They're very, and they're creative. You know, they're always kind of finding new ways to... exactly, to test limits or to surprise you.
And they do it sneakily too. They're very sneaky. Mm-hmm. They'll do it not when you're around. They'll just after you leave out of sight is when they start to get in the most trouble. It's true with the Hackney too.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
We're never putting my Hackney out with your Lusitano. That would never be a good idea.
Oh, no. They're going to plot world domination.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I noticed when I was watching that video about that parade? What's it called again?
The fair at Golgam.
You could smell the food just watching the video.
Oh, yes.
It must be incredible. I mean, Portugal's good food anyway, but I mean, that must be incredible.
It is. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it really is. Like I said, it's just such, it's such an explosion of like smells and sounds and, you know, and sight and it just assaults your senses. And it's like, once you've been, it's like you said, like, if you ever see a video of it, you'll be able to smell you'll see smoke and you'll be like, oh, I know what that smell is.
Hey, Ashley, I'm thinking a Horse Radio Network listener trip.
Oh, yeah. I love Portugal. So my bags are packed. My passport's up to date. Let's go.
Daniela, you can be our tour guide, okay?
Do it. Oh, my gosh. I would love to.
You can lead the way. We'll get people signed up for that one. Well, even horse husbands. That's a horse husband approved destination, right? I mean, because there's so much to see and do and eat.
Yes, there is. I mean, the fair, you know, yes, the fair is amazing, but it's located in a nice area and everything's drivable. So, you know, it's like an hour and 15 minutes from Lisbon. So, you know, Portugal is small and it's so easy to drive anywhere. So horse husbands, if, you know, they get a little bit, you know, tired of the fair, they can pop over somewhere else and do something fun.
And you know what? You guys can just drink some Vino Verde and you'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll be happy.
Exactly. Or just start drinking. Just start pumping them with alcohol.
Exactly. It works every time, honestly.
And sit them down somewhere and then just go about your business.
Exactly.
Are there a lot in the United States?
Of Lusitanos?
Yeah.
I think there's more now. I think finally the breed is starting to, it's in a really nice moment over the last few years that it has grown in popularity. And now I think people are seeing them, you know, more as a competitive breed for dressage and also a versatile breed. I think before they kind of, you know, especially here in Wellington where it really is, you know, such a mecca of like very elite sport, they're a little bit still like looked down upon, where it's like, well, you know, yes, they're cute, but like, you know, they can't really perform, like they can't match up. And now I think, you know, we see Lusitanos scoring really well into the 70s and like really, you know, performing well and showing that, you know, they're right up there with the nice warm bloods. So
you can be something other than a brown warm blood and do well in Wellington.
Yeah, it's hard. It's definitely difficult. I do think we need to work harder and, you know, you can't make as many mistakes. You kind of have to prove yourself a little bit more. But yeah, I think I can feel like the tide shifting a little bit more in our favor as the years go by and more, you know, Lusitanos are shining in competition and making it known that, you know, there's good horses in this breed and you can, you know, you can definitely bring out
the best. They win the pretty award.
Yes, I have to agree.
They just do it. So it's interesting that you said that because I think that's true. I think there's a bunch of different breeds coming into dressage mm-hmm. right now, especially. And, you know, last week we interviewed somebody from the island of Jersey who rides a 14-1 spotted pony and is at Grand Prix wow. level, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good for them.
So, you know, I think we're seeing it now. A lot of it still comes back to the horse, right? Individual horse.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I've been having a lot of these kind of conversations because it's so hard to get any horse to that, you know, to that level anyway. But it is, you know, I think when you're in this kind of off breed category, it adds an extra little bit of a challenge because you kind of have to convince people, you know, that you're worthy of being there.
Or you have to show them.
Yeah, exactly. You have to let your work speak for itself. But it is a little bit of like, okay, you know, where you have that little tiny bit of popular opinion against you. But it's easy to change, you know, when you have a good horse and you're doing well and you can show something good, you know, I think it definitely plants a seed in the community.
People want to see your pretty horses, where do they go?
Well, I'm based in Loxahatchee, just outside of Wellington. So, you know, my farm's here, and we're going to be showing a little bit over the summer and hopefully get ready for next season.
And what's the website?
LusitanoMasters.com.
LusitanoMasters.com. I'll put a link to that in your Facebook page as well.
Oh, thank you.
You've been delightful. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
No, thank you so much. I hope you guys end up going to the fair.
Now we want some spicy lunch of something. That's what I think. I'm hungry. I can smell the smells. I'm hungry now. Daniela, thank you.
Amazing. No, thank you so much. Have a great day.
At Purina Animal Nutrition, we are focused on helping horses live their best life. For wholesome nutrition that performs, try Purina Omaline Horse Feed. Formulated with Outlast gastric support supplements to support gastric health and proper pH, it keeps your horse performing with confidence. Put our research to the test. Stop by your local Purina retailer or visit PurinaMills.com to learn more.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems.
This ought to be good.
That's right. It's the time of week when we talk to our listeners and find out what their equestrian first world problems are. And as Jamie always says, if you have a horse, it's a first world problem. Any problem you have is a first world problem. So our auditors, we post this in the auditor room, and they usually post in here the things that they're dealing with and are so hard. And we haven't read these ahead of time. So
nope, we're going in blind.
I don't know what we're getting. Amanda said, I think I found the most amazing barn close to my house, and there will be a stall available June the 1st, but I don't have a horse to put in it yet. Well, that's a problem.
That is a first-world problem. Hey, I bet if you post in the auditor room what kind of horse you're looking for, we can have that solved by the end of the week.
Yeah, I love all the other auditors replied, well, get shopping. We found two for you today.
That's right.
Yeah. Shelley says, when you won a $100 gift card from the Ohio Equine Affair raffle, but it's to Bronco Western Supply and you're a DQ.
Well, you know, even a dressage queen looks cute in some cowgirl boots.
I guess my husband is getting something instead. Well, good for him.
There you go.
He deserves it. Put stuff with you. He deserves it. Meta says, my neck is hurting this morning, and it's really annoying me while I'm trying to schedule the equine chiropractor and equine massage therapist for my OTTB. Isn't that the truth? Oh, my God. We never do anything for ourselves.
No, of course not.
Anand says, the 4-year-old Welsh cob I bought as a project for my 8-year-old daughter to eventually take over is coming along so well that she can probably take him much sooner than I thought. But I'm having so much fun with him myself.
It's only a matter of time. Yeah, it will happen.
Let's see if that kid ever gets that horse. You're still the mom. You still pay the bills.
I mean, yeah, you can ask my mom how that worked out for her, Glenn. Mm. I ended up with all the horses.
She's 8 years old.
She got to borrow her own horses back from me.
I was going to say, shortly she'll find boys and it won't be a problem, but she's only 8, so you got 4 more years.
I never really, I really stayed focused on horses. Boys were secondary. That's the good thing about raising horse girls.
G Julie says, we've been working on weed control and spent tons of money on fertilizer to improve our pastures. It's paying off as they're green and super lush right now. We're dry here. Ours aren't super lush. But my horses and donkeys are easy keepers, so I can only put them out on a part of the day because they get too fat. And I have to clean stalls in a dry lot because they can't be out 24/7, which is cutting into my riding time.
No!
Your pastures are too nice.
The best laid plan.
Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't have put that fertilizer down. Cheryl says, I have such an amazing community that when I needed broken water troughs for a Mother's Day project, I got tons of offers. We're coming back to that. But now I need to spend the evenings this week collecting them all from around the area instead of riding my horses. Okay, let's see if we can figure out what she needs broken a water troughs for a Mother's Day project.
Maybe she's making like planters or something.
Or maybe it's to bury the mother-in-law.
Oh, no, it's not. No?
Okay, I was just thinking that maybe. Planters is probably a better idea. Gwen says, I have always wanted to be a dressage scribe, but haven't really had the opportunity. But I'm getting paid to scribe for a friend's L-Judge certification next weekend, and she's bringing me down to Georgia with her, so I'm so excited to get to scribe. Plus, I get paid for it. Except there's like 10 shows and clinics the same weekend that I can't go to. People have got to stop planning events I want to go to when I'm busy. It does seem like no matter what it is, horse shows or just fairs or festivals or whatever in your area, they all happen on the same weekend. It's always the ones I want to go to when like there are five other things going on. Summer says, my horses are pasture ornaments, so I don't get to buy them anything fun except supplements and halters. New halters just aren't the same as new saddle pads.
True. You could still color coordinate them or get them blinged out. I mean, they're kind of fun.
Yeah, I have bought a lot of halters for Scooter over the years, I will say, because I don't need saddle pads either.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, you can match it to the feed bucket, to the pitchfork. I mean, we can accessorize girlfriend.
Debbie says, we are finally putting sand flooring down in my outdoor arena, but between work and the wet weather, I've only been able to get the base rock down. So currently, I have nowhere to even lunge my horse. Yeah, they really don't like lunging on rocks. That's not their favorite.
0 out of 10 recommend.
That's a real world problem, I think. That is a serious problem. Yeah, well, you know what? The front yard. Who cares about the lawn? Just lunge them there. Who cares?
It's like aeration, right? Yeah. Isn't this the time of year you want to do that?
Speaking of which, around here, you see a lot of backyard. You know, you lived here. You see a lot of backyard farms. So there are horses that live there. They probably don't do anything with them, right?
Whether you want to see them or not.
Yeah, they're lawn ornaments. But how many around here do you also see, and I never saw this anywhere else, where they have the entire property fenced in, and the house isn't fenced in at all. So the horses just run around the whole property.
He's coming up on the back patio.
Well, that's the thing. If I did that with Scooter, he'd have everything torn off the porch. He'd have all the plants eaten. And these people have beautiful homes. I don't know how their horses aren't eating everything and tearing it to shreds. I don't get it. I could never do that. We could never do that, ever. He'd be sitting on the rocking chair on the front porch.
He would be, you and Jen be cooking dinner and his head would be in the slider like, hey, guys, what's for dinner?
He'd
you
be
making me
banging on the front door with his hoof. I don't know how these people can do it. And they have nice plants and all stuff over the porch. And I'm like, how can they do it? I don't know. We've never had the horse that could do that. We did have one horse once when we had the 100-acre farm. When I first met Jennifer, it was like a very rural. I mean, very rural. And you had to go back almost a mile-long lane to get to our house. There was nobody around. You couldn't see anything. And we had this little mini, and it was 100 years old. And this little mini was loose on the farm. And every morning we'd wake up and open the back door, the mini would be standing right there by the back door waiting for us every day.
I mean, that's a great way to start the day.
And the mini would never go anywhere. It was just always around the house. And sometimes it would come up on the porch, but it wasn't destructive like Scooter. But he was just the coolest thing because he'd just go anywhere.
Just chilling. Like, hey, guys, what's up?
He didn't care. It was so funny. He never left. He just hung out. I think he had to be in almost 40 when he died.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he was up there. He was old. And he was one of those old hairy minis, you know, that was really hairy.
Yeah, just a fluff ball.
Yeah, and you never brushed him because he didn't like that. So he just wanted to be a pet. you know, hanging around the yard with the dogs. And that's what he
did.
There were many times we had a cool farm dog then named Houlihan. And there were many, that Houlihan never came in the house. She didn't want to ever come in the house. And Houlihan and the Mini would be sleeping together a lot. They would be out in the backyard. Houlihan would be laying like there right beside the Mini.
Yeah.
Be hanging out because the Mini thought he was a dog. So there you go. That's my loose horse story. It's the only one we had we could ever trust around the house. I had pneumonia once. I was really sick, and Jennifer brought the Mini in the house to visit me on the couch.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Like a therapy baby.
Like a therapy Mini. Well, my pony was too big to bring in the house, but the Mini could come in.
And magically, your pneumonia cleared up the next day.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. We're going to just chat in the post show for the auditors, so if you want to hang around for that, please do. Jamie apologizes for not being here today. And tomorrow, we have the American Horse Council is going to be with us tomorrow. Later on in the week is the Reining Horse Association. We have some bad ads for you later in the week. We have all week planned for you, so hang around for that. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Ashley, for being here. Give a plug to your shows.
Sleep Stories for Equestrians, the Show Jumping Podcast, and later this month, you'll catch the next episode of The Quarter Horse Show.